a recorder.
Okay. First, I wanted to discuss the food on the table, and please help yourself. The title of the class, as you see in front of you, is entitled Bread and Butter. We need kumashim. There should be on a card. Okay. Okay, the title of this class is called Bread and Butter. Therefore, I didn't want to bring bread because I knew nobody would want to wash. I didn't want to bring butter because I knew that some people would be flaky. So I brought crackers and margarine instead of bread and butter. So help yourselves. If you don't need, I won't be insulted. But it's a good, I'll understand in a moment.
Okay, I'll have some. Yeah, me too.
I really am not insulted. Okay, so let's say if I would have remembered to bring you the menu from Milk and Honey. What does everybody get at Milk and Honey that is not on the menu?
Well, that's the bread.
Right, and that's what you go for, pretty much. Yeah. Right. How many of you go for the bread?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay, so with that in mind,
you know everything.
Thank you.
I'm going to have you.
Some teachers
know everything. Yeah. I'm going to have you take a look.
You know what?
As I asked you on the top of the page in our little pushpins memo here, I want you to take a look at Bereishit Perek Yud-Chet, Sukim Aleph Tefet, with a study partner, please. And I want you to notice, and I left you space to write down if you would like. I'd like you to notice, and you may write down, I left these places, you can write on your sheets if you want to, what food did Abraham offer to his guests, and what food did he actually serve his guests? So please note
you
that.
Wheat.
So look at the psukim, don't use it. Hi. What do you think? Okay. I know you all noticed the milkic and placing, but we're not going to get to the milkic and placing until way near the end of the class. Okay. So let's start with the textual. You know I'm a very, there's a nice echo in this room. You know I'm a very text-based person, right? Okay, so I'm reading these psukim, or you're reading these psukim, and you see that Abraham offers one thing, and he presents them with something else. So what does he offer them? Right. Okay. What does he actually serve them?
A whole meal.
Oh, well, my goodness.
As you see up here, I think this is the best place to put it.
Lovely.
He promised to give them bread. He indeed prepared the bread, or at the very least arranged for the bread to be prepared. He had Sarah do that. He had them put together some type of meat, a fancy meat dish, the best, vast, the tall, tender, young, soft, good meat. Just up your alley, and he actually served them butter, milk, the rich kinds of foods, and this meat.
And the meat.
So what's our huge question that we see, aside from the milk and placer question, what's our huge question that we see from looking at this order of events?
Where's the bread?
Thank you.
Why did they eat dessert before they
have their meat? If indeed butter and milk is dessert. Why did they eat the dessert first? Because it's yummy. They're grown-ups going to throw it out to do that. So why did they have the dessert first? But indeed, he promised them bread. He had Sarah prepare something out of flour, and he never served it. How many times has that happened to you? It doesn't come out good. I was just going to say, how many times has it happened to you that you make it and it doesn't come out good? Or you make it and you forget to serve it? Even if you have
maybe
a list,
he gave maybe he gave him bread, and then
not mentioned.
He was making more bread, fresher bread.
Already we have to go make a drushim. We already have to, we have to try to find out the bread. So this is the first question that we're going to be dealing with this evening. If Abraham promised to serve the bread and even have Torah prepare the loaves, then why doesn't the Torah tell us that he actually served bread to his guests, to the malachim, to the angels? So Rashi, which is our first source number one in our sheet, gives us an answer. You said maybe that it didn't come out good. Maybe she forgot to serve it. Maybe he gave it to them, but it wasn't written. What does Rashi say? Wild. Knock your socks off.
the dog that you saw. Queen?
She became Anita.
She became Anita. She began her monthly cycle again. How old is she at this point? 89 years old.
Nice.
She begins her monthly cycle again. And therefore the dough became unclean.
Oh, why does that mean that the dough is still unclean?
The dough became tame.
Because she cooked.
This is the idea. Now, we are not familiar with these halachot because everybody's tame nowadays. Everybody is tame nowadays, tame lamet. So we are not familiar with the halachot involved, the particular laws and vows in a woman who's an Eva. Certain food that she can't, that if she touches it, it becomes tame. There was actually in biblical times, as you may be familiar with from my lovely author, Anita Diamond, who wrote a book called The Red Tent.
Oh, yeah.
I do not recommend it, and I never, ever don't recommend books. I always read the books that aren't recommended. But that one, you like this?
I like this.
No, I would use
it. I couldn't read it in the bathroom. That was my personal take on it.
What's the book?
It's called The Red Tent. So the question is, why is it called The Red Tent? Because the women in biblical times and even in the times afterwards, the word nida, what does it mean? It means like to push aside or to put aside, to wander, to not be in a stable place. Because the women used to go to a particular place, a particular house, a particular tent
really
that was separate from everybody else.
That you think that was really...
So they say. So they say.
But there are other women there, right?
There are other women there who are the same
usually. Usually they were in the red tent.
Right, okay.
They were all related.
That they were all related.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know exactly what all the details are with it, but there are a lot of nuances of the halachot of Nida, woman who's a Nida, that we are not familiar with nowadays because we don't have the basic midrash, and we aren't regular in the general laws of Tumah and Tahara.
So, there were people that used to do that. Like when, remember when all the Olim Chadashim came from Ethiopia?
Yeah.
Then they used to...
They didn't have a red tent, but they were looking for it. But we look at this Rashi, and this Rashi accomplishes two things for us. Number one, what does it tell us about the miracle of Sarah and Abraham having a child?
She was still able to...
It minimizes the miracle. The miracle was, of course, it was a miracle. She was able to have a child at age 89, but it minimizes the miracle because the miracle did not come about, and this is my own personal speculation, as an immaculate conception. Rather, immaculate conception is the way that Jesus was born.
Jesus'
mother, Mary, never had any relations, and she was still able to be pregnant with her child. That's my own personal...
That's called the
birth. Well,
the conception is called the immaculate conception.
Because he was conceived without sin.
Right.
That's how it works.
Okay.
It's not that they didn't have relations.
And what about
your
sins?
Well,
that's what they believe. Okay. Anyway. Number one, it minimizes. What?
What Pesach Rashi is
this? It's right on your sheet, actually. Number one. I'm not one who's big on article translations in general. I'm glad that they do translate because it makes the Torah very accessible, but very often their translation is based on a period that...
Well, for butter, he writes cream.
Right.
You know, when I asked you about pot lesson before, it says in the article translation, it says, from this we understand modest description of the sumptuous meal he was about to serve the Talmud derives the right to say little and do much, so they deliberately...
Right, so the other reason I don't like article is because it gets me in my class. The other half of what I haven't done. It's not the main part of the question. It's just a little part of it. Yeah. So how come he said? Oh, he only said not those who give them pie. He only mentioned the bread. So you're already answering the question. But I want to go back to the sermon and back to our Rashi. Rashi assumes two things. Number one, that it minimizes the nation. Number two, a larger question about the Avot. What larger assumption does this Rashi make about the Avot?
That
even though they lived before the time of Matan Torah, that they kept the mitzvot. Halacha that we are even not privy to nowadays and familiar with, they avot kept it. Okay, Rashi. Are there other cases in which you will give the same example with the avot, in which you think that the avot actually kept mitzvot? Answer being.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so if you look at source number two, This is my favorite, and I need you to look at the Psukim for this one. The Psukim is in Bereishit, Perek Yotet, right in our next Perek. What were the three things that the angels were coming to do? Number one, they were coming to heal Abraham. Number two, they were coming to tell Sarah she would have a child. And number three, to inform Abraham about the destruction of Sodom. So in Perek Yotet, they come to Sodom. This is unbelievable. They come to Sodom. They see Lot. Lot invites them in. And in the third pasuk, what does it say? Vayash lehem mishter umatot asav yochelu. He serves the matot. What does Rashi say on these words? Serve them as towards number two, Rashi? Because it was Pesach. Excuse me a moment, but would you please walk further, read for a little bit the English, the story in the English. Or you're allowed in Hebrew. Read for a little bit the story in English. Okay, so here's my point. Lot, who when confronted with a mob of starving men looking for other men to fulfill their, as Rashi explains, homosexual tendencies, what did Lot say to them?
I have take my
daughters. I have daughters. This Lot is celebrating Pesach. But Lot celebrated Pesach. Very interesting, just came to my mind nowadays. Think of what is the holiday that is most celebrated among secular Jews. Everybody has a Pesach Seder. Not, God forbid, to compare secular Jews to Lot. Not that, to say, God forbid, that they would be willing to give their daughters to a hungry mob. But it is interesting to note that Pesach is something that no matter what people do, very often the Seder is something that people come back to. I would even say more so than Yom Kippur, even because it's a family time. Do you think Hanukkah?
Yes,
in Israel.
Okay.
I don't think he had Hanukkah around
there. In Israel,
you're probably right.
They didn't. Why would they have Pesach?
Not yet. Right, there's another question, a stronger question on Pesach. Pesach happened there with Tziat Mitzrayim. We do it to remember our leaving Mitzrayim. The Jews didn't even go down to Mitzrayim at this point. Like, what's going on? Okay, fine. Purpose of this Rashi, again, to show us that the Avot kept the mitzvah. Another example. Yaakov comes back from Laban's house. Okay? Yaakov comes back from Laban's house. And he comes, and he's ready to meet Esav. He comes when he greets Esav, and he says to Esav, Esav, in Laban garti, I was living with Laban. And what does Rashi say? In Laban garti, gimel, reish, tach, yud, say Chazal, and as Rashi presents, in source number three, right near the bottom, the second half, gimel, reish, tach, yud, switch it around to tach, reish, yud, gimel, im lavan garti, v'taryag, shmitzvot, shemati. I kept all 613 mitzvot. We're noticing a trend here with Rashi. And just to give you one last example, Yosef is abducted from his father, sent down to Mitzrayim, where he becomes second in command, and his brothers then come down to Mitzrayim. And when the whole story is over, when they find out who they are, he sends back to them agalot. He sends them wagons filled with treasures to give to his father. Rashi says, why did he send agalot, wagons? It's a play on the phrase egla arufa, which doesn't mean wagon, but it's talking about the case in which
what they were learning.
A man dies equidistant from two cities, in the space between two cities, the same distance from each city. Which city is responsible for his death? You take a string, send it from where he is to each of the cities to see which is shorter. Whichever one is shorter, that city, the elders then bring an egel, a young calf, to that spot. Arufa, they break off the neck, the oref, the back of the neck, egla arufa. This is the halacha, says Rashi, that Yosef and his father was learning at the time when he was 17 and he was abducted. So clearly from all of these sources we see that Rashi says that the avot kept the mitzvot, that they kept all the mitzvot. Now, Rashi, of course, doesn't usually make up things on his own. And if you look at the beginning of source, on the next page, the top next page on source number 5, we have a mishmash. I have to go off on a tangent here just for a minute, okay? I knew that Rashi Shorts was in a Gemara. So I found that I used my CD-ROM, I found the Gemara in Kedushin. I look up the Gemara in Kedushin. The way the Gemara is set up, as some of you are familiar, is that first it gives the Mishnah, then it gives the whole explanation of the Mishnah, which is the Gemara. Okay? So I looked it up, and I noticed that it was the very last page of Kedushin, and lo and behold, there's no Gemara on it. It's just a Mishnah. It's the last section of Kedushin. I said, great. I'm going to scan this into my computer for the class, I have it upstairs in a different edition of only Mishnayot, with Tahati's explanation on the bottom, with Nikud. Much better to photocopy it with vowels than without vowels in the regular Gemara. Vowels, punctuation, etc. So I go upstairs and I take this. In the meantime, when I was looking in the Gemara, of course I need to see context. I was thinking, what is the context? And it was like giving me this whole list of everything, all these things that the Mishnah says, and it wasn't in every edition of Mishnah that I was looking in. There's this little section. This section that I'm giving you did not appear in every edition of the Mishnah. It didn't appear on my CD-ROM. And the other parts of the Mishnah, here's what the Mishnah said. It starts off with saying, a single man shouldn't teach little children because of the mothers of the little children. Isn't that interesting? Like, you don't think that the Mishnah talks about this. These are totally, total tangent, nothing to do with what we're doing. But I just found it very interesting. It was just really, like, it goes off on this whole thing, and not all the editions of Mishnah had that in it, and it really, like, says, my husband happened to miss this edition, not in that edition. He said it was censored. So, it's very interesting. But anyway, okay, so back to our Mishnah here, in number 5, which I photocopied for you from the edition with the Pirush of Kahati on the bottom. Machinu. Sha'asha Abraham Avinu et kol ha-Torah kula ad shelo nitna. We know that Abraham kept the entire Torah even before it was given. So Na'amar, as it says, Ekev, since later on in chapter 26, you can look it up if you like, 26.5, because this is going to be the basis of a lot of the next part of our discussion, we have found that Abraham kept the entire Torah, as it says, Ekev asher shama Abraham b'koli, since Abraham listened to my voice by Ishmar, and he kept Mishmarti, Mitzvotai, Kukotai, the Torotai. So here's our question, how could Avram keep the Mitzvot, the Chukim, and the Torah? So we already know what Rashi's going to say. He actually kept the Torah. He says that the Mishmarot, what are the Mishmarot? Vaishma Mishmarti are talking about the Zerot, the extras. The step out, what we call a siyag Torah, the gate around the Torah to ensure that we don't go further. The sniot la'arayot, which are the second degree interest, second degree inappropriate relations, or even you could say the custom that we have for men and women not to touch each other if they're not married to each other. That could be sniot la'arayot. Shvut la'shabbat, certain things, rabbinical prohibitions regarding the Shabbat. For example, turning on a light switch.
They didn't have lights.
Okay, but those kinds of halachot, that level of halacha, is something that he kept. Mitzvotai. Things that if they hadn't been written, of course he would have, like it would have made sense anyway. Fine, those are common sense ones. Don't steal, don't kill. Can we all accept that Abraham probably kept those? Fine. So far we have a difficult time saying that he kept the actual not turning on the light switch on Shabbos. We're okay with saying that he didn't steal and didn't kill. Next, Kukos Hai. Things that nobody else understands why we do it. Abraham kept it. Like Shatnez. Like not having a clothing. Abraham knew not to have clothing with linen and wool in the shrine. He brought it. He called up Rabbi Asher on the phone. So Rabbi Asher brought a shoot at the Shum's Bash. And Rabbi Asher checked it out for him because Abraham was very careful with these halachot. And the fourth part of it, says Rashi, the Torotai. What is Torotai? Torah Shabbat Peh. The oral law.
How did
the
he know
extras, the explanation. Here's our question. How did he know all this? This is before the Torah was kept. That's one question.
You could see the future.
I have another question for you, which isn't so far, but you know what they say about Abraham as a Navi.
He's a Navi.
Yeah, but you know who was a better Navi than Abraham?
His wife.
Yes, you got it. Okay, so now let's deal with our problems. So now we said, according to Rashi and according to Chazal, we set up that the Avot kept the Mitzvot. We have a huge problem with this, saying that how could he keep the Mitzvot if it was before the Torah was given? We have another problem with this. Hello. In the beginning of the class, we looked at Sukkim that told us very clearly that Abraham didn't keep the Mitzvot. What Mitzvot didn't he see? Did it seem like he didn't keep? So on that little Rashi where it says about the whole thing with the dough that she became unclean and the dough became unclean and all that thing, there's a little letter in there, a little letter Zion. And if you look over on this side, one of the commentators that comments on Rashi, Sifrei Chachamim, explains. Now, you're saying that the kept the mitzvot, but we have a problem with Bashai B'chalav, meat and milk being mixed here. Don't worry. He shows you where to go. He goes, first of all, he said, first he gave them the milk before the meat.
Of course.
Secondly, they could have been that they relied on the opinion that's written in the Shulchan Aruch that says that if you merely clean your teeth and your mouth between flesh and milk, it's okay.
Were they from Holland or Germany?
And not only that, it was in a footnote from the Ramah to the Shulchan Aruch, which means it was the Ashkenazic opinion. Okay.
So they had
interesting. So he's explaining away, no, they really kept the mitzvot, don't worry about it. Okay, so our next question, based on the interpretation of the Midrash, if they actually kept the mitzvot, half out and serve the angels meat and milk at the same meal? And I'm going to make the question even stronger.
I need butter and milk before
then. Where's my other transparency? Yes, thank you. I didn't bring the English translation for the following sources. However, I gave the reference to it. So feel free to look up in your commission to find English if you want an addition to my oral explanation of it. Source number one. Vayashkem Yaakov Baboker. Yaakov woke up early in the morning. This was on his way, running away from the Er Sheva. His father and mother had sent him to Haran to live with Laban after his brother was going to kill him because he did a pretty sneaky thing. That's next week's class. Vayashkem Yaakov Baboker. Yaakov woke up early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put under his head. Vayashkem Altam Matseva. He made it a Matseva, which you could translate as a monument. Vayitok Shemen Al Roshah. He poured oil on the head. That's source number one. Source number one, B. From Devarim. Lo, Takim, Lecha, Matseva. Don't make yourself a monument. You're not allowed. The Torah says. Even further. Asher Shani Hashem Elokecha. God hates it. It's a horrible thing to build your own Matseva. So now, aside from not having a place to get milk, it doesn't matter. Here it says you're not allowed to make a matzibah.
Why could he do it in person?
The first place he did it because he sanctified the place. He said, now I know that Hashem is in this place. He was making it a special place. You're not allowed to do that, Tesla Tava. Next. Again with Yaakov. He's the rebel, right? But Yaakov gam el Rachel, but Yaakov gam et Rachel. He married two sisters, Leah and Rachel, while they were both still alive. Says the Torah, Isha el Achota lo tikach. You are not allowed to marry a woman's sister, your wife's sister. Litzur legalote bata alaha, to marry her, for them to be second wives, for her to be a second wife. In other words, you're not allowed to be married to them both at the same time, dechayaha, in her lifetime. And the halacha actually says, so which would imply that if a man is married to a woman and the woman dies, he may marry her sister, but halacha says actually, we say no, you don't do that either. But here we have, a man may not be married to two sisters in their lifetime. Even if he divorces one, he's not allowed to marry the other one. As long as one is alive, he's not allowed to marry them. Actually, I take back what I said. I think he could marry her sister. I don't know if he can marry a sister if she dies. I think he can. Mm-hmm. But not if they're divorced. Mm-hmm. Not if the first one is alive. He can't marry a sister. Hello, Yaakov.
Marry both of them.
He was supposed to marry Rachel.
Well, that was his Torah, but he's saying that they kept the whole Torah.
I'm saying that Rashi said they kept the whole Torah.
Well,
I'm giving you now examples that they didn't keep the Torah. Case number three. Yichach Amran Yocheved Dodato. Amran took Yocheved, his aunt, Lo Isha as a wife to him. What does Vayikra say? You may not marry the sister of your father. And not only that, you're not even allowed to marry your mother's sister. In other words, may a man marry his aunt?
No.
What does Amram do over here? Amram, Moshe Rabbeinu's father, marries his aunt.
An aunt could marry an uncle.
A niece can marry an uncle, but a nephew may not marry an aunt.
My mother's sister married him.
Okay. Right. It happened, I think, within the ship somewhere in there also. Okay. And last case we have, we're going back to something that we said originally about Moshe Rabbeinu. Ma'ispo Moshe called to Hashem. Moshe wrote everything Hashem told us right. Hashem woke up early in the morning. Ma'yidem is back. Takat hahar. He built him his back. And 12 matzivot. Well, back to our original pasuk. Not allowed to build a matzivah. Hashem hates it.
Can I share a thought?
Please.
Maybe when Hashem gave the Torah, he reflected on the things that didn't work out so well, and that's why that's where those prohibitions came from, meaning maybe because there was so much jealousy between Rachel and Leah, and there was so much heartache and blah, 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 maybe that's where that pasuk came when the Torah was written.
Right.
And you know what I mean? So maybe, like, the Avot knew the mitzvot, but these weren't included yet because there wasn't a need for them until it was proven.
So then how do you explain Lot keeping Pesach before it's yet Mitzrayim?
So I don't know that one.
So that's a nice idea.
Well, Lot keeping Pesach is just the question.
Right, but that's the idea that we're going on. We're saying that's what we're saying. We're saying, Rashi, I have a problem with your interpretation because it doesn't make sense because of these five reasons. So Beth is saying a very interesting point that it could be that these mitzvot developed afterwards.
Mm-hmm. But then the Avos should have known that because they knew the whole Torah, so they should have known that.
So maybe this was like a little addition.
Something that they didn't know.
So a suggestion that's being offered on both ends of the table, actually, is that maybe the Avos did keep them in school, except for here and there.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few things that came to be in the entire Torah as we know it that were only either added subsequently or that the Avos didn't know about for some reason.
Maybe they
a possibility.
Maybe they weren't supposed to keep these in school.
Okay. So let's take a look for our last few minutes.
Wow.
At Ramban. Ramban was a 13th century fascinating person. Ramban lived in 13th century. He started out in Christian Spain. I think I told you this story last year, but I'll tell it again. That may have heard this one. Ramban was called by the king to participate in the debate in Judaism against an apostate, a Jew who had converted to Christianity, named Pablo Christiani. Ramban won the debate, and then at the request of the king, published a record of the debate. Now then the supporters of Pablo Christiani, the Dominican monks or whatever they were, came to the king and they said, oh my gosh, Ramban is saying all these horrible things. What he said is blasphemy, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. They brought Ramban forward, even though the king had already approved the writing of the book. They brought him forward, he was found guilty of treason and blasphemy and all those other things. They burned his book, and at the age of 71, he left Spain, where he had known his entire life, traveled to Egypt, and from there to Eretz Israel. Once he was in Eretz Israel, he arrives in Yerushalayim, that is totally decimated from the Crusades, totally destroyed. He sets up in Yerushalayim a small little shul, the Knesset HaRamban, which you could actually visit today, right behind the corner of a synagogue, right down the street, down the steps a little bit, in the Jewish quarter of the old city of Yerushalayim. He set it up, established a strong community in Yerushalayim, then moved to Akko and passed away in Akko at the age of 73. This is Ramban, unbelievable. Right. So Ramban does an interesting thing when he reads these two things. Ramban reads it. Oh, I didn't think he did. Okay. Ramban reads Sukkim in general, and he says, okay, there are four ways to look at the Torah. But he acronyms, yes, as Pardes, Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. Meaning there's more than one way to look at the text. You can look at the text, simple, straightforward meaning. Simple, straightforward meaning, did Abraham keep the mitzvot by giving his servants milk and meat together? It doesn't matter. Like, of course he didn't keep them as well because Torah wasn't given or whatever. He didn't keep them as well as you know them. But he says, but I can't ignore what Chazal say. In his Pirush in general, this is what he says. I can't ignore what Chazal say. So if you take a look on the source that I brought you, he says as follows. We're going to start, I'm going to read in the Hebrew, you can follow along in the English, I'm going to do a free translation.
Where are you?
I am on the last page. Page 3 on the unnumbered source. It should be source number 7. The Hanir'eh Eli. It seems to me, Midad Rabbi Kainu, according to what the rabbis explain. Shalamad Abraham Avinu HaTorah Kula Beruach HaKodesh. According to Chazal, they say that he kept the mitzvot, and how would he know all of it? Ruach HaKodesh, like a nevuah. Divine inspiration, he got a divine message. He learned it from Hashem. And he really learned about it. He ingested it. He took it in and let it become a part of his life. We have these two levels of people who keep mitzvot. We have people who keep the mitzvot because they were commanded to keep the mitzvot, and we have people who keep the mitzvot even though they weren't commanded to keep the mitzvot.
Right.
In our household, this past Sukkot, for one of the meals that was just our family, one person was sitting in the sukkah as mitzvah be'oseh. He was commanded and he was doing it. And one person was sitting in the sukkah who was not mitzvah be'oseh, or rather mitzvah be'oseh, and that's me.
Yeah.
It's not my mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. Why was I sitting there? Truly? Because he asked me to. You know? That's why I get there. And I said to him, I'm sitting in the mitzvah. I said, I better get a mitzvah for this one. He said, of course you get a mitzvah. I don't get as big a mitzvah as he does, because like I always picked up, you know, when I was in high school, I had these memories of, you know, being told, go study. It's much harder to study when your parents tell you, go study, than if you get up and study on your own. If somebody tells you to do something, our natural tendency is to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it on my own schedule. I'm going to do what I want to do. At least that's me. Maybe that's just
no,
me.
No,
that's not right. Okay, so Gadol Mitzvah Be'Yosem Mishayinu Mitzvah Be'Yosem. It's greater and stronger is the person, more of a schar person does, more of a reward if he was commanded and fulfills, than if one wasn't commanded and fulfills, but he still also gets the reward. So Abraham, since he wasn't actually commanded, but he learned the Torah through a special connection he had with God, he did keep the Torah, but it was on the level of someone who wasn't commanded to do it. It's a nice extra thing. But then he adds a caveat. Uchmirato otah haya ba'aris govad. Where did he keep the Torah?
Yes.
Only. And it's interesting, because look at another Ramban who says that really the only true observance of mitzvot happens in Eretz Yisrael. And I would have said it even if you hadn't been here. He says that all of our keeping mitzvot out of Eretz Yisrael is practice. So when we get to Eretz Yisrael, you need to set up examples for yourself just so you get used to doing them in the church, so that when you make Aliyah, you do the real thing.
We do more here. We have extra days. Yeah.
Okay. So he says that the Avot, or Avraham Avinu, and indeed all of the Avot, only kept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Indeed. The Yaakov, the Chusha La'aretz Dovad Nasash Ve'achayot. Yaakov didn't marry these two sisters until he was outside of Eretz Yisrael. True, when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he was still married to them. But okay. But as soon as he got to Eretz Yisrael, you'll notice he'll be looking at Sukkim pretty much as soon as he got there.
He died.
Right.
No,
so there you go. The Chain Amram, and also Amram married. Where did he marry Yochanan? In Mitzrayim.
ki ha-mitzvot nishpat elokei ha-aretek, because the mitzvot are the laws of the God of the land, meaning Eretz Yisrael. Even though this apple pichu shuru b'chodat ha-guf b'chol makom u'kvaram zerabatino asod hazah. And Vani Arich, I'll talk about this more later, he says, even though that really most of the mitzvot are on our body and on ourself, no matter where we are, the avot only kept the mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael, he says. And I'll explain that later. Okay? V'ha-matseva, the concept of the matseva, this is very interesting, you're going to notice this, the concept of matseva that he set up, mitzvah shenit kachav is man yaduahi. This is a mitzvah that was renewed, that was established only after a particular time. That mitzvah did not always exist, as is presented in this class. To Moshe Darshu, as Chazal explained on the words of Asher Sana Hashem Elokecha, this part of the pasuk that God hates, during the times of the avot, it was ahuvah. Hashem desired this. Mm-hmm. You did want that in the time of the avot, but later on, because of a perversion or whatever, it wasn't any more desired on his part.
Is it something like the Levim who in the Beis HaMikdash would play instruments on Shabbat, am I right?
Well, but they would still do that now.
I've been asked
that
question a lot, but mm-hmm. I don't know the
they would still do that now.
They would?
Yes, but
that we're not allowed to.
But they're not allowed to carry it there. You know, the reason that we don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah isn't because it looks
like
it.
But in Yom Shemayim they did.
They did,
I think so. In Yom Shemayim they did Arbat Aminim, even on Shabbat.
Okay, there you go.
They did or they do?
They did. No, when Beit HaMikdash is
right. Oh, when the Beit HaMikdash is right.
No. No, but when Beit HaMikdash is
right. Oh,
okay.
Different.
Now, here's an interesting one. There's one other example that Chazal give us of one of the Avot keeping a mitzvah that I didn't bring you, and that's of Yosef keeping Shabbat in Mitzrayim. Now, Ramban has a problem with this because this is going to really knock his whole theory out the window, right? He said the Avot didn't keep the mitzvah outside of Eretz Yisrael. So here we have an example of Yosef being outside of Eretz Yisrael and keeping the Mitzvah of Shabbos. So how does he explain that? Ube Yosef Darshu, Chazal tells about Yosef, Shayah Mishamer to Shabbat Afilu B'Mitzrayim, he kept Shabbat even in Mitzrayim, Mipnei Shehishe Kulak Neged Kol Mitzvot. Because it is equal to all of the other Mitzvot. Why is Shabbat? Chazal tells that keeping Shabbat is as if he kept all the Mitzvot. Why? Shabbat is the proof that God created the world. Why did Yosef then keep Shabbat in Mitzrayim? To teach his sons belief in the creator of the world. Because remember, they're living in Mitzrayim. In order to remove from their hearts the intentions and the meanings of Avodah Zarah and the thoughts and the religions of the Mitzrayim, the Zot Kavanatam, and this is what the intention was. So he says, according to Chazal, I'll say they kept the Mitzvot. But I can give you several examples in which they didn't keep the Mitzvot. So you know what I'm going to say? They didn't keep the Mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz. They didn't keep the Mitzvot outside of Eretz Yisrael. They only kept the Mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. And it was okay anyway because they really didn't have to keep the Mitzvot. They did it because they were the Avot. So the Avot kept the Mitzvot. But he says, you still have the problem. It was still before Matan Torah. It's still before the giving of the Torah. So he continues and he says, V'yaldera kapshat. You could look at it another way. Tomar, Sheyehe Mishmartzi, what did we mean when he says, back in source number, in Parakav Vav, in chapter 26, verse 5, what does it mean that he kept my Mishmarot? It's talking about that Abraham kept my Mishmarot, and munata elokut, belief in God, she'emin b'shem ha-miyuchad, that he believed in the special and uniqueness of God, v'shamay mishmer zobeli vel v'chalach ba'al obzir v'dazorah, that he kept this special idea in his heart, and he disagreed with the idol worshippers, the parah v'shem Hashem, and he called out Hashem's name, v'hashiv rabim ma'avarato, and to get many others to also believe with him. That what was the mishmeret? Monotheism, belief in one God. This already we can start to handle. Number two, what about mitzvot high? What mitzvot high did Abraham keep? Kechol asher tshivahu. Everything God commanded him personally. What did he command him? Lech lecha me'artzecha. Leave your land. Ve'olat b'no. Tell your kid.
Did we shout Amanda Epinac chase out your wife and her son? All those things that Hashem asked him to do that were difficult for him to do, he listened to Hashem, no question. Number one was monotheism. Number two, personal commands. Number three, chukotai. What are the chukot? Usually we explain the word chuk, and as Rashi explains it, it's something we don't understand. The only reason we keep it is because Hashem told us to, and we understand that Hashem is the creator of the world, and that he understands what the reason is, and we don't know what the reason is. Like chakras, like the checking the suit for the wool and linen together. What is he talking about? Says Rambana Lachat Adarchei Hashem, to follow God's ways, to emulate the way he behaves, Yod Chanun V'Rachum, to be kind and merciful, V'Osech Shtakal Mishpat, to give kindness and charity and justice, so the Tavot Ebanaved Beitobahem, and that he should command his children to behave appropriately as well. The Torah tied the last one, Hamilah Ba'atmo, the commandments of the circumcision of the Brit Milah, the Atmo for himself, Uvanav, his children, Vavadav, his servants, and also the commandments of the seven commandments of the son of Noach, which is don't kill, don't steal, don't, wait a minute, let's start from the beginning. Don't eat from a live animal, don't curse God, don't steal, set up courts, don't kill, don't have inappropriate relationships, and don't worship idols. Basic things. Basic underlying foundation of society. Shehein Torah Lahem, because this is their Torah. So what does Ramban say in the end? What does it mean with Yavok Tepin of Salt? They acted like mention. They acted like examples to everybody else. If you're not comfortable with the idea that the Avot actually kept the Torah, okay, and you just want to look at the Psukim, okay. But understand, the Avot were the Avot. They behaved in an exemplary fashion. They were kind. They were caring. They believed in one God, and they listened to him no matter what he told them, as difficult or as uncomfortable as it made them feel. So now that we have this whole discussion about if the Avot kept the Mitzvot, first of all, Rabbi Liebtag is going to be giving the class on if the Avot kept the Mitzvot on Shabbos. Please don't stay home because you thought you heard it all. Because I'm sure he comes, he goes way beyond anything I presented. I think it's at 4 o'clock. But I want to just end off with one thought. And this is, I forgot to bring you this source, so I apologize. It's a little bit of a busy day today. Rashbam. Rashbam, that's his grandson. What does he say? He says as follows, going back to the bread. He says, bread, what are you getting all like worked up about? He already told them he would give them bread. So now he's bringing them butter, milk, and meat. Because he doesn't have to say that he brought the bread, because he said he was going to bring the bread.
He just made them.
She made them. He never served them. Oh. What does Rashbam say? Of course he served them, but he already said it. All you have to add are the extras.
In other words, we take it for granted that he gave them bread.
If he said it, he was going to. Right. Not only that, if you want to take it the next step further to go back to the way we started the class, of course he served them bread. Would you go to milk and honey and not wash? Never. Although I have to say, I did it last night.
What?
I didn't touch the bread.
Why?
I don't know. It was like a thing. No. I didn't feel like having the bread. Even though I knew I was going to talk about it the class tonight.
He
always does. Okay. But he says he's really in the spirit of Rashi. Rashi told him that if he would have written his parish over again, it would have been like Rashbam. But here's what happened. Rashi starts out his parish. He says in Parak Gimel of Rashi, I'm going to bring the straightforward explanation. There are a lot of midrashim written all over the place. I'm going to bring the midrash that's closest to the pshat. And then he goes along and he sees, okay, he's not bringing pshat. He's not bringing the clear reading of the text in context. Rather, he is really bringing the midrash in. And at some point, Rashbam says in his explanation and Bereshit, the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev, he says, when I spoke to my grandfather Rashi, he said, if I would write my parish over again, I would write it like yours. It's neat. Okay. So, there you go. Questions, comments, please.
About the Avot keeping the Mitzvot. So, it's just like a thought that if
we believe that the Torah is, you know, it's like it's the real thing. That it's not only given to us because it's rules and you know, like they say that the Torah is supposed to it's supposed to express our inner world. Like if we would be on a level to see what our inner world is, so we would find that this is it fits in the Torah. So if we look at the Avot, and we take what the Midrash says, and what Midrash says, that the Avot kept the Mitzvot, kept the whole Torah, so it just comes to show us that the Avot that were really on a high level, so the Torah was their nature. What does that mean that they kept the whole Mitzvot? Not that, you know, they kept it because it was given from the Sinai, but because it was the nature. They were on a level, so they kept Shabbat because that's, you know,
right, and
that was their nature, mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. They kept the Torah without
being there.